Did you get that? I hope so.
Can I get a
podcast?
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Can I get a podcast? I am Jeffrey Cooperstein, alongside my good friend and co-host Chris Gross. Chris, what's today's date?
December 11th.
And what day is it?
Tuesday.
Nice. All right.
I threw
that one on you there.
Okay. I made fun of you for not knowing, but when you get put on the spot,
you forget real easily.
I think I knew all up until about 20 seconds ago that it was Tuesday.
Hey, that's okay.
Jeffrey, it is, since it's December 11th, we are exactly 2 weeks away from Christmas.
Yes, yes.
Have you got your Christmas shopping done?
No, sir. Tried to do some today at Grapevine Mills Mall. If anyone who works at Grapevine Mills Mall is listening to this, I'm very mad at you because you didn't have anything I was looking for.
But that's not their fault.
That's not my narrative.
Okay, we'll go with your narrative.
Chris, we're here today on a Tuesday after the fifth straight win for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, they win 29-23 in overtime, a victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. And let's talk about these Cowboys. The Cowboys who now, it looked like their season was dead. A little over a month ago. You're sitting at 3-5. That was a lot of people, me included, saying that was the nail in the Jason Garrett coffin.
Me too.
And now here they are. It's going to be embarrassing if they don't make the playoffs.
Now they would need to lose all three of the rest of their games.
Yes. And granted, they are in the worst division in football.
They don't ask you how.
Exactly. So I just want to talk about the Cowboys. And interesting conversation, I think. It's about Dak Prescott. And Dak in this last game has three turnovers. So Dak trying to give the game away, but in the end, it was Dak who ended up winning them the game for him. Now, having Cooper's nice, maybe that's a conversation for later. But I think Dak Prescott, the ups and downs, I don't know what to make of him exactly. I think things are going right for him right now. Dude, whether Cowboys fans like it or not, Dak is going to be here. Dak is going to get an extension.
This is the most polarizing sports topic on Twitter right now.
Yeah.
Since the end of the game on Sunday, this is all people can be talking about. I know Jam Session talked about it earlier today. Dennis and Kalashar are talking about it as we speak right now on Tuesday. My stance has not changed on this. I think Dak is good enough to win you games.
Yeah.
I don't think Dak will win games. You can win with Dak. You can't. Dak can't win games by himself.
You don't think he won the game on Sunday?
I mean, the pass was almost intercepted and it tipped up and fell right to Cooper.
I get there's some luck involved, but...
No, but he was brilliant. The fourth quarter and overtime, Dak was brilliant. But before, like, I understand the fans' frustration with, oh, he holds the ball too long and he misses open receivers, because that obviously is frustrating, but every quarterback does that.
And you know what? It's interesting you bring that up, because that has been one big knock against Dak is taking all these sacks. And that is the one thing over this five-game stretch now where they've won five games in their five attempts. The one thing that has not improved has been protecting the quarterback. He's still getting sacked like crazy.
I don't know if... And I think there's a lot of factors that obviously go into sacks. It's your protection.
Yeah.
Are your receivers getting open? Is Dak getting through his progressions? Tyron Smith didn't have a good game in his first game back in the last couple games, and that didn't help at all. But I think there's plenty of factors that go in to Dak holding the ball too long, but it is one of his biggest flaws as a quarterback right now.
It is, and he said the reason he takes sacks is because that is him protecting the ball.
Sure.
He doesn't want to throw the ball away, get an interception, but you know what? Look, I like Dak. I like Dak a lot.
I like him.
But the issue with that is... You seem like the only quarterback who hasn't figured out a way to get the ball, throw the ball away.
Right.
Now, granted, we saw it from Russell Wilson last night. You get into a crazy situation, you think you're throwing the ball away, and it gets picked.
God, that game was horrible.
I get that happens. Yes, it was. But, Dak, you've got to figure out a way to throw the ball away, not take these sacks. We saw it in this game on the other side of the ball where you can get sacked out of scoring position.
Even though Brett Maher made that ungodly 62-yarder.
Yes.
No, absolutely. And I think what Dak's thinking is that third and 18 is better than first and 10 and the other team having the ball. Which, and I'm okay with that thinking that a sack's better than an interception, but throwing it away is better than a sack.
And I don't think that there aren't two options. The options aren't sack or interception. And that's the issue we have, where you've got to figure out a way to throw it. You've got to figure out how to throw it away. If you don't know how to do it, then that's something to figure out. And, you know, that's just one thing about Dak. I agree with you as we talk about the Cowboys' five-game win streak and Dak Prescott here on Can I Get a Podcast? He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. I think in the right situation, Dak can be a quarterback that can have success.
Absolutely.
I'm not gonna say he's an MVP or he's going to take you to a Super Bowl. I think part of it is these coaches. If he was in a more creative system, like if he was playing for Andy Reid, I'm not saying he's going to be Pat Mahomes, because he's not. He doesn't
but
have
he would look a lot better.
He would. He would look better than he does in this system.
And that's why the Cowboys, regardless of what they do this season, have to go get an offensive coordinator. Have to.
Okay. I was talking with somebody about this a couple weeks ago, and it was, I want to say, going into the Saints game, and they had won three games in a row, and you basically said, hey, look, you win this game, you're almost guaranteed a playoff spot. If not, you can still make it, but it's going to be a lot harder of a road. And going into it, I said, is long-term for the Cowboys' success, is it better for them to lose that game? And people were saying, look, you can't worry about that. You want to win now, but I think, look, in the long... this is not a team right now that is going to win a Super Bowl.
No, but to that point, I agree. I don't think you can worry about, oh, maybe they need to lose this game for the betterment of the franchise. It's not like tanking in basketball. I think that even if they make the first, maybe even the second round of the playoffs here in the NFC, I think Scott Linehan is still going to be replaced, because they're just looking at the rest of the league. They're seeing what Pat Mahomes is doing. They're seeing what Jared Goff is doing with Sean McVay. I mean, even the hot name right now, Lincoln Riley, they're seeing what he's done, back-to-back Heisman winners. They just need to find someone like that who is a dynamic play caller.
And you know what? I'm glad you brought up the Rams, because another bad game, Sunday night game, between Los Angeles and Chicago. It's been two bad weeks for Jared Goff and the Rams.
Yes, I mean, bad weeks are going to happen.
And that's what I wanted to say, where, look, you can't expect perfection out of Dak every week. And especially with Dak, a guy, look, he's not accurate.
We know that.
And that's something we just have to accept.
Even though he went 24 for 28 against the Saints. I digress.
But I mean, look at the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
You overthrow, you underthrow. It's a problem.
He's not your quarterback that's going to just pick apart a defense standing
right
in the pocket.
But what I am going to say is, look, you can't expect perfection from Dak when you're watching Jared Goff, who's running one of the new NFL high-flying offense, has bad nights too. I mean, it happens.
It does. Again, on the way up here, I was listening to Dennis and Kalashaw, which all of you guys should do.
Absolutely. 3-6 on 103.3 FM ESPN.
Yes, sir. Steve Dennis had a really, really good point. And I think people have unfair expectations for Dak because he followed a legendary quarterback in Tony Romo.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any disputing that Tony Romo is one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of this franchise. I just don't.
Yeah.
Romo didn't have to follow and act. Romo was the first quarterback they'd had since Troy Aikman. So everyone was in love with Romo, and they had no expectations for him. Anything he did was gravy. They're expecting Dak to be as good, if not better, than Romo was, which is just unfair.
And the issue with that, too, is Dak Prescott winning 13 games in his rookie season.
Yeah, but he did it to himself, yeah. I'm going to say. But.
And so, look, I don't want to be like a complete and utter Dak apologist, because Dak has his flaws, and we've talked about some of them here, but look, I agree with you. I think if you want to maximize what you have with Dak, with Zeke, now with Amari Cooper, you've got a defense who is playing absolutely out of their minds, you need a little offensive creativity. And I want to close it out with this. This is all you need to know about Scott Linehan. Dude, his brain seems to fall out when they get in 10 yard to goal line situations.
Unbelievable. They have, for my money, the second best running back in the National Football League behind Todd Gurley. And they do not give him the football in goal to go situations.
It doesn't make any sense.
His logic behind this, I heard someone said he said this. His logic behind this is that, oh, the other team knows we're going to give the ball to Zeke, so we're just not going to do it. I think that's just stupid.
Yeah.
You got to give your ball to the best player.
Actually,
I said that so wrong. You got to give your best player the ball. You can put that in the intro.
Okay, we'll do that. That might be our intro, unless we caught you singing at the beginning.
Yeah, I hope you did.
Look, yeah, I don't want to get into this because that's a part that's been it's beating a dead horse at this point. But you've got to get if you want to maximize Dak, which you can have success with Dak as a quarterback. I believe that, but you do need a different. You need more creativity in the offense. And you need to play more to Dak's strengths.
They need a jolt. Where that comes from, I'm not sure. I think there's someone out there that who's a little more creative, a little more risk-taking than Scott Linehan to give this team a jolt next year, and the offense will look even better.
He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. This is Can I Get a Podcast? Going to take a quick music break here. Right on the other side, Jeffrey, I smell baseball in the air.
Ooh.
Winter meetings have begun. We're going to talk a little baseball. We're talking Hall of Fame. We're telling you who will make it into be part of the 2019 Baseball Hall of Fame class. That's next on Can I Get a Podcast?
Welcome back, everybody. Can I Get a Podcast? I'm Jeffrey Cooperstein alongside Chris Gross. Chris, it is Baseball Hall of Fame season.
Yes, it is.
We have ballots aplenty. I believe there are about 30... There are 33 ballots in that we know of at the moment. Voting concludes January 22nd, 2019. And there were two people already elected to the Hall of Fame I believe it's called the Veterans Committee.
Yes.
It was Harold Baines and Lee Smith elected to Cooperstown. Do you know who either of those are?
I cannot tell you one single thing about either of those.
Me neither, except I know that Harold Baines was a DH.
And I believe Harold Baines spent a little bit of time with the Rangers.
Did he?
I think so. One of those guys spent some time with the Rangers, making it, if I remember, I saw the tweet from John Blake, if I remember correctly. One of those guys is the eighth player to make the Hall of Fame who spent time with the Rangers.
Very cool. Very cool. Plenty of cool names on the ballot this year that I think a lot of generic baseball fans would recognize. So let's just go through some of them here. Why don't we?
Let's do it. You and I, we'll just throw out some of the big names. And we will say yay or nay on Hall of Fame ballot. And then we'll get into some of the lesser guys. We've got a Ranger on this list we need to discuss.
Oh,
and I want to look back at some of the guys who were on previous ballots.
Okay.
Their chances of making it.
Do it.
So let's start off with some of the newcomers. Mariano Rivera.
Absolutely.
Lock.
Yes.
What's going to be sad is that he's not going to get 100% of the vote, which he absolutely
should.
Because
some person will be like, oh, he was a reliever, he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Or there's these weirdos who think that you shouldn't be getting 100%. Or the other weird thing is you can only vote for 10 guys.
And somebody will just run out.
Yeah, somebody will say, well, he's going to get in anyway, so I'm going to use my vote on somebody else.
He is the best non-starting pitcher in history.
Was clutch in the postseason.
He is an indisputable Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Should be 100%. He's not going to be. Also on the list, we've got Roy Halladay.
Rest in peace, Roy Halladay. Hall of Famer to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched Roy Halladay growing up. He was not good. He was great.
Roy Halladay, two Cy Youngs. He had a perfect game and a no-hitter in the postseason.
Pretty good.
It is. And I'm trying to find the right way to word this. I think Roy Halladay... I don't think he would have been a first ballot guy if he was still alive.
No, you're right. Probably not.
But I think because of that, he's going to make it this year. I think Roy Halladay is going to make it in. Let's talk about some other guys. Todd Helton.
Todd Helton, I would say no because there were other people I would vote for over him, like I said, with the 10. But he's close. Todd Helton was a great player.
Andy Pettit.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to go with Pettit.
I think he should be. But he was mentioned in the Mitchell report, and I think that's going to scare a lot of people off.
That is a conversation we have to get to, but I'm putting steroid people in the Hall of Fame. So, yes, Pettit.
Let's talk about, I'll just throw some other names out. Lance Berkman.
No. Lance Berkman was good, but he also rubbed me the wrong way. And so if I were a voting man, I would not put Lance Berkman in the Hall of Fame.
What was his nickname? The Big Puma? Or what was it?
I could not tell you.
It was something like that. We've got Roy Oswalt.
No.
Kevin Youkilis.
No.
I think Kevin Youkilis is a big name, but I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
I mean, he's a big name for our generation. Good player, not Hall of Famer.
Before we get to actually a couple Rangers on this list, are there any other big names that stick out to you? First-time Hall of Fame ballot guys?
No, I think that's pretty much it that we had there.
He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. Talking about the 2019 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot.
We do have one.
Yeah?
Former Ranger, Mr. Ranger, Michael Young.
Yes, Michael Young is on the list.
Because I'm super biased, I'd vote for Michael Young, but not really. Michael Young was a really, really, really good player.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he was great. He did win some batting titles, multi-time All-Star, but I'm not sure if he is Hall of Fame worthy.
I do, too. I think for sure, like a Rangers Hall of Fame guy.
Isn't he already in it?
I don't know. He might be.
He probably is.
I have no idea. But no, not a Hall of Famer. Also, former Ranger Darren Oliver.
No.
You think he's a Hall of Famer?
No.
I don't either. So that's really all the big names coming up on this list. I think there's two that we agree on, three if you include Andy Pettit.
Right.
From the New Time guys. Let's talk about some guys returning on the ballot from previous years. Going percentage-wise from last year, Edgar Martinez, 10th year on the ballot. This is his last shot to get in from the voters. He is coming off a 70.4%. You need 75% of the vote coming from last year. I think that alone is going to get him in.
I think Edgar will get in. I would also vote for him. 68.4 career WAR. Pretty impressive.
Yes, it is. Other big names, Mike Mussina, coming off a 63%.
I'm not sure if he'll get in this year, but maybe next. I don't think I had him on my list.
Then we've got Roger Clemens, 57% last year, and Barry Bonds, 56% last year.
This is a difference of opinion. There is no doubt in my mind if the Hall of Fame is about the best players that your game had to offer, these guys should be in.
They should.
Barry's the greatest hitter of all time.
And you know what? We don't know for sure that he took steroids. We don't have the proof.
We don't have the proof.
And to me, the thing about Barry Bonds, here's to me my spiel on the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame is about the biggest, the best players in the sport. And to me, you cannot tell the story of baseball without Barry Bonds.
You can't. Or without Roger Clemens.
Yes.
Or without Sammy Sosa. You can't. You just can't do it.
And you know what? There, to me, you might, on their plaque, you put a asterisk or something,
sure,
and you say tested positive or mentioned in the whatever, but you got to put them in.
And I just have a problem with the way that some people are voting. They're voting for them based on this quote-unquote character clause that they have.
Yeah.
So they put Ty Cobb in the Hall of Fame, who is known for murdering a person, but won't put Barry Bonds in or Roger Clemens in or Sammy Sosa in. Probably won't put Alex Rodriguez in either because they took substances. That's just ridiculous to me. There's another guy on this list who I want to mention, Curt Schilling.
Okay.
Curt Schilling, probably the best postseason pitcher we've ever seen.
Sure.
He's not going to get into the Hall of Fame because no one likes him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's the other thing, too, where his is definitely more of the, I don't even know how you would say it, personal reasons?
Yeah, because obviously Curt Schilling is a very controversial person.
Yes.
No one's going to dispute that. You can go look at his, we're not going to get into that. You can go look into his tweets and whatnot. But he is one of the best pitchers to ever play baseball. And if that's what the Hall of Fame is about, he needs to be in.
And I think part of that, too, goes to why I think this system is flawed. It puts a lot into the personal opinions of writers, where like Barry Bonds, well, they may say, yeah, look, he was a great player, maybe one of the best players in baseball, but I think he used steroids, so I'm not going to put him in. That, to me, is where you've got to lay down some criteria. You've got to put something into kind of, I don't know, keep those personal opinions, personal biases away from Hall of Fame voting.
Another one of those guys who rumored to be a steroid user, Manny Ramirez, arguably the greatest right-handed hitter to ever play baseball, career 996 OPS, career 154 OPS plus. For those of you that don't know what OPS plus is, just I'll tell you, the major league average is 100. Manny Ramirez was 154.
Okay. I'm glad you brought it up because there were two more guys I wanted to talk about. One of them was Manny Ramirez.
Former almost Ranger great.
Yes. And I wanted to mention him because I found this article. It's talking about Jaws. Do you know what Jaws is?
I've heard of it. I'm not 100% sure what exactly it is.
It is basically a metric created to determine Hall of Fame worth. And it's from a guy named Jay Jaffe. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Jaws stands for Jaffe Wins Above Replacement Score. And I found this interesting article about Manny Ramirez and his Jaws score. So his career WAR, 4 points above the average Hall of Famer.
Yes. I see it. Yep.
His peak WAR, only 1 point below the average Hall of Famer. And his Jaws score, again, this metric, I don't even know how to explain it. This guy created it. Jay Jaffe saying, this is the score that determines Hall of Fame worth or not.
So
his Jaws score above the average Hall of Famer.
So is this a metric that's based on numbers, or is it based on other external factors, or what's going on here?
Let's get into...
If you don't have time to look it up, no big deal.
I'm actually looking at an article right now. It says... the Jaffe Wins Above Replacement Score, short for Jaws. It is not everybody can withstand this deep dive into the debate over who is worthy of Coopertown, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you talk for a little bit while I look to see how this works?
There are some other notable people on the ballot who I think are deserving but won't get in here. Andrew Jones, great center fielder. I believe 10 gold gloves back with the Atlanta Braves, also a former Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
I was at his best Ranger game of all time in Anaheim when he hit 3 home runs. So that was really cool. Some other people on the list we got here, Sammy Sosa, who we mentioned earlier, I think he should get in, but
okay, I have this. You want me to jump in here?
Go for it.
Jaws is a tool for measuring a candidate's Hall of Fame worthiness by comparing him to the players at his position who are already enshrined. It uses the baseball reference version of wins above a replacement to estimate a player's total hitting, pitching, and defensive value while accounting for the wide variations in scoring levels that have occurred throughout the game's history and from ballpark to ballpark.
I think that's already flawed because in the first sentence it says comparing people to people already enshrined. There are some people enshrined who 100% don't deserve to be enshrined.
I agree.
So I'm not sure how to go with that.
I agree with that, but what it tells me is if those guys are worth it, Manny Ramirez should be.
Absolutely. Long story short, Manny Ramirez, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa all should be in the Hall of Fame and Curt Schilling.
Okay, I want to get out of here, but I've got to talk about this guy first. So this is just a personal thing. Guy, first time on the ballot, Gary Sheffield.
Love Sheff.
I want to talk about Sheffield because Gary Sheffield, here's my one and only thing you need to know for why Gary Sheffield should never make the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
He was a member of the 2008 Detroit Tigers.
And yes, I know that you are or your family. I don't know if you are, but your family is.
My dad's from Michigan. My dad is a huge Tigers fan. So grew up paying attention to the Tigers. So the 2008 Tigers, I'm looking at the baseball reference page. So for the guy who played the position most, we're looking at that. Gary Sheffield played most games at DH. DH! Okay, keep that in mind. Jeffrey, what is your one job as the DH?
Hit.
Do you want to guess who had the lowest batting average in that 9-man roster on the 2008 Detroit Tigers?
I'm going to guess Gary Sheffield.
It is Gary Sheffield. And now, for those of you who tell me, well, look, you can't always look at batting average.
That's what
average.
I was about to say.
So let's look.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Let's look at.
Are you saying that I'm a baseball nerd?
You like OPS?
I do like OPS.
Guess who had the lowest OPS of the 9 starting players on that 2008 Detroit Tigers team?
Would that be Gary Sheffield?
It's Gary Sheffield.
So he shouldn't get in.
You cannot be the designated hitter on a team and be the worst hitter.
That's closed. What
I'm saying.
Case closed.
There's all you need to know about Gary Sheffield and his Hall of Fame candidacy. I'm sorry. I like the guy, too. I think he's funny. I think he's great on, like, the TBS postgame shows.
Can I break in with some news here?
Yeah.
The Texas Rangers have signed former Texas Rangers pitcher Brandon McCarthy.
Oh, now I like Brandon McCarthy. That's a funny guy.
I don't like him because he doesn't pitch well.
But he's funny. Do you follow him on Twitter?
I do.
He is a funny guy. Do you have contract details on Brandon McCarthy?
I'm searching the twitter.com as we speak, but I cannot find anything at the moment. My friend just texted me and said to a front office role, so it wasn't to actually play baseball.
That's disappointing. Is he still
going to
tweet?
You know who told me that?
Who?
It was Grant, the one who gave us the review that you love.
Shout out to OG Shill.
Wow.
Leaving a great review on the podcast, which, speaking of, we are going to close out the podcast here like we always do. It is the 24-second shot clock. For those of you who never listen to the podcast, here's how it works. You get to talk about for 24 seconds whatever you want. It doesn't have to be sports related, but when those 24 seconds are up, you hear the buzzer, you got to stop talking. Jeffrey, we're going to go to you for your 24 seconds. It begins now.
So you can see me right now. I'm wearing this super throwback New York Islanders jersey.
Yes, very vintage.
I found this in my closet today. Never seen it before in my life. Just what? Randomly found it in my closet and was like, oh, this is really cool. So I'm wearing this. I'm a big jersey guy. I like wearing jerseys. So this is like one of the coolest days of my life because I found a jersey I didn't know I had, and now I can wear it, and it's like super fresh.
That is cool. I love that when you're kind of like looking through your old stuff and you find something cool that you didn't even remember you had.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It is cool. Jersey is nice.
Thank you.
Jersey is nice. For my 24 seconds, Jeffrey, I'm going to go a little Christmas themed here. You know the song, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus?
Yes.
I need help settling a debate.
Okay.
So the song, this kid catches mommy kissing Santa Claus. Now, is the song implying that the dad is dressed up like Santa, or dad is asleep and mom is actually kissing Santa Claus who snuck down through the chimney?
So the way I've always thought of it is that it's the dad dressed up like Santa Claus.
Okay. That's what I think of now, but I always thought growing up it was Santa came down and mom was kissing the real Santa Claus.
So mom was cheating on dad with Santa Claus.
Yes. Is that weird? Like, because I feel like that's weird.
I mean, it's not weird if you're under the age of 8.
What do you think was intended? Not what you think. What do you think the song is intending?
Probably the one where it's talking about the real Santa Claus, I'm sure.
Okay.
But it's not how I see it.
So I just heard the song and it confounded me because I didn't know which it was actually talking about. Tweet at us. He's at jcoopjr27. I'm at Chris's Gross, Chris with a K. Let us know, which Santa is it? Is it the real Santa, or is it dad dressed up as Santa that mom is kissing? We need answers. We need answers here. Leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review. Jeffrey, still 10 ratings, all 5 stars.
You know what that means. We're doing well.
That means we are doing well. No new reviews. If you leave a review, we will read it right here on the pod. That is for future episodes. But Jeffrey, that can only do so much, leaving the ratings and review to help us out. What's another way people can help spread the word?
As we've told you before, the best way to spread a podcast is to tell people about it.
Yeah.
Word of mouth. Need to tell your friends, tell your family, tell your cousins at your next Christmas party, Christmas yes. gathering. And I'll just cut right to it, Chris. Who's the most important person?
It's the ex-wife.
It is. There's no doubt about it.
As you're passing the kid off during these holiday seasons, you've got to split days. I know you will see your ex-wife here within the next couple weeks.
It's bound to happen. Just let her know.
This is where you give her, you might even want to send her the link, the podcast.
Do it.
That might be the best way to do it. But he's Jeffrey. I'm Chris. Follow us on Twitter. Let us know what you think about, I'll tweet out a picture of Jeffrey's jersey. Let us know who mom was kissing under the mistletoe. But that's going to do it for this episode of Can I Get a Podcast?
Okay, thanks.